Welcome to Double M Live, episode 126, man. Mike Nice.
What's poppin'?
How you feeling, brother?
Tell you what.
Do always say something.
There was a cup that I had, but I think I left it over there for a reason.
Yo, Tex, can you help my brother out?
Tex, you don't gotta do nothing.
Hey, Tex.
Everybody looking for my cup now.
Hey, no, that's Melo's.
This dude, Tex, came on my... Tex, get out of here. Get out of here with that, Tex. Get out of here with that, brother. Damn. It's all right. We good. 126.
126. Speaking of Tex, later on this episode, you get to see Tex debut on Double M with this interview with June. It's a super dope interview. Hope you guys, you know, stick along. She's in the building with us right now, actually. So yeah, shout out to June. Awesome interview. Yeah.
What you call him off Triple M?
This is Triple M, my buddy Triple M. Welcome to the show.
Hey, welcome.
And so make sure you guys stick tuned, listen to that later on with Tex. But Mike Nice, episode 126, man. Mm-hmm. You know what today is? Today is Teachers Appreciation Day.
What? I was wondering why I was getting them shits popping up on my phone. And I'm like, is it today or is it?
It's today.
It's today.
It's today.
And then I think next week is Teachers Appreciation Week.
Oh.
Today's the day and the next week's Teacher Appreciation. At least that's what Siri told me.
Okay. So Siri won't lie.
Siri won't lie.
We got to have a conversation about AI and how it's taking over. But that's not going to be
funny
this.
About Siri, but not right now. Not right now.
But the reason I brought it up, teachers, we're going to start it off real wholesome. Can you think of a time where there was a teacher in your lifetime that marked you or changed your life? So you're an educator, I'm an educator. So is there a time you have a specific teacher that, you know, changed the way you saw things or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Middle school, seventh grade. Quick little background. Marv, you know this, but obviously we got people tuned in and watching. I went to a predominantly white school, Metco vibes, and everybody around me was white. The teachers was white. Most of the students was white. That's just what it was. Until my seventh grade, got a black teacher and a male teacher at that. My boy, my man, Mr. Brown popped in the building. What name, Mr. Brown?
I could have. If I had to,
how life works.
If I had five guesses to guess his name, I tell you, Mr. Brown would have got. I would have got one of them.
Mr. Brown popped in middle school, seventh grade. And he was a young dude. Like, it wasn't an older guy came in and tried to, he was a young dude. And, you know, I kind of, me and other fellas, other blacks, we kind of tested him. Like, oh, yeah, you come in here. You think you know what's up with us. Like, we from, you know, the city. You coming out here working in this school. Like, you probably with them in a sense, like with them. But nah, he was with it. He knew the culture. He knew conversations. Like, we used to get to school early off the bus, and we used to pull up to his classroom while he's in there probably setting up, getting ready for the day. Me and a couple of students would just pull up to his classroom as seventh grade kids just to legit shoot the shit with him and just have conversations about life. And that always stuck with me through seventh grade, eighth grade. He's my teacher in eighth grade, too. Then my high school was next door to my middle school, so even there was times, depending on when day ended, I would even go back over to my middle school just to chop it up with him. And, you know, fast forward to the day I became an educator myself, different way he interacted with me when I was that age is the same way I interact with my students now. And I think last November, I believe, December of 2022, I finally said, you know what? After all these years of being an education myself and being an educator, I'm going to pull up on Mr. Brown. And I finally made that trip back to my middle school, and he's still there holding it down. And as soon as I walked into the building, he saw me, I saw him, he just started dying and laughed. It was like, yo, I remember you being a clown in these hallways like it was yesterday. And, you know, we just caught up like it was nothing. But I say all of that to say he was a major impact on me, and he's the reason why I am the educator I am now, and I interact with my students and have the conversations and discipline them and whatnot. I do it. Majority of that, a lot of because of Mr. Brown, a lot of it because of my Caribbean parents, but a lot of it was, you know, seeing how Mr. Brown interacted with me from that time period of my life. So shout out to Mr. Brown for sure.
That's a dope story. I never even knew that. Nah. But as long as I've known you, I never knew that story. Obviously knowing about Metco and such. And it's like, I did Metco as well. We obviously went to two different schools. And I had the opposite. I couldn't relate to no teachers. I don't have one teacher from elementary to high school that I was close with or had a connection with or I could go to, like, or I felt comfortable. I don't have one. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I was thinking about this the other day. I remember my senior year. You know, senior year, you got to get letters of recommendations from a teacher, guidance counselor and stuff. And I was probably the last one to get one because I couldn't think of anyone to give me a letter of recommendation to. One, I wasn't the greatest student. So it's not like I could go to the teacher. Right, I got it. It's not like I could go to the teacher that I got an A with, because that's not happening. So I didn't associate with none of the teachers there. I was just, you know, just a student. It was just a business relationship. So I was like, I was really struggling who to go. I eventually went to like my French teacher or something like that. And she wrote me some bullshit recommendation. But I say that to say, fast forward 10 years later, I have students asking me to write them letters of recommendations. And it's like, yo, that's so dope, because I didn't have someone to do that. So just to be, you know, someone in this field as a black male to be able to write a letter of recommendation, knowing that how hard it is to find sometimes someone to just, you know, vouch for you, is really dope. But then again, it's like when you're a kid, you don't know what you don't know, right? So you don't, I wasn't there like, oh my God, I don't have a relationship. You don't really care.
I give a damn.
Until later in life, you're like, oh, okay, you hear other people's experiences and you say, oh, okay, that's pretty dope. But yeah, man, Teachers Appreciation Day.
I didn't give a damn about it when I was young. If you would have told me as a child, as a student, it was Teachers Appreciation Day, I would have been, so? What that mean to me? But now, being on the other side of things, I get it. Am I necessarily looking for gifts or anything like that? I don't care. I just do it because, you know, I genuinely care about the kids in the community at the school I work at and just want them to be the best version of themselves as they move forward in this thing we call life. So I don't need any kind of praise or recognition. It's just...
Well,
it's a duty, you know. It's a duty I accept.
It's a duty, but you know, still deserve, you know, the recognition in itself. Like I say this all the time. There's not a lot of black males that are in this field at all. Like
not at all.
When you go in, even when it's if it's a social work field, mental health field, education field, there's not a lot of us in there. Just until recently, I used to be the only one that looked like me. I was always surrounded by white women. All the time and all the works I was. So just until recently. So it's like, I understand how important it is to have us in these fields. So, you know, try to tell, you know, it's good that we can, you know, speak to the younger generation, let them know that one is possible and two, how important it is to have us there due to the fact that there's not many of us. And you, I can speak for you, similar to me. I did not see myself doing this shit.
I didn't have many conversations. Yo,
this is not the route.
Exactly.
Like, we probably were stubborn about it till we were like, when we were still in it, we were probably still stubborn about this ain't going to last. And, you know, fast forward, we're in this field for many, many years now and still doing it and enjoying it. It's crazy to think about that. 5 years ago, if you were to sit us, we were still in the same field and you asked us, would you guys be here in 2023? You probably would have said no.
Nah. I did not. I definitely, like you said, I did not see this as the route. But, you know, as the time went on, just continued to do it over the years and just built the different relationships with different kids and the different interactions. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. I'm blessed. Like, I feel like it's hard to I don't know how you feel about this. Sometimes it's hard to really sit back and be like, oh, man, I'm making an impact. Like, I don't necessarily think like that. I just do and just keep pushing and keep making things happen and keep trying to push kids in the right direction and keep trying to be as helpful as possible. So I don't necessarily sit back and be like, oh man, I'm making such a great impact, Mike. Like, you, I don't think like that. I just keep trying to push for. If I get recognized for it and people want to say something to me, I appreciate it. I say thank you. And you know, but like,
I don't think you get to see it until years
later. Yeah.
Obviously, we said we've been in it many years, but it doesn't touch to, like, you know those teachers that, I've been here for 20, 30 years. Yeah. I had your daddy and your dad. I think they get to see it way more about, because now they get to see the growth.
And it's the kids, too, who want to come back to see you and have conversation or hit you up. I definitely, you know, in my school I work at, there's been a lot of turnover in terms of staff and whatnot, but I've been there for, you know, several years now. So I'll have kids, you know, walk into the building, walk past people. Kids will walk into the building, not say a word to anybody else, any other teacher. And they'll come straight to me like, yo, Coach Mike, how you doing? How's everything going? It's been years, like this and that. So I think in those moments,
you see it.
Like, you making this trek back to this school to come see me and chop it up with me. It's like, okay, like, not many kids are making a trip back to school sometimes to see teachers unless somebody has really.
Never did that in my life. Never will.
I did it one time, like I said, this past November. But yeah, kids aren't really making a trip back to this school to see teachers and have conversations. But if a kid going to do that for me, I must be doing something impactful. So I'll take it.
Word, that's dope. Switching gears a little bit. Last week here on Double M, we spoke on the tragedy of of Ralph Yarl, and 16-year-old kid. For those who haven't heard this story, 16-year-old kid trying to pick up his siblings, and he goes into the wrong house, wrong neighborhood, got it confused, and an older white man, I'm forgetting his name at the moment, older white man, not important, 80 something years old, opens the door and shoots Ralph 2 times in the head. Luckily, he was able to survive, and we had a whole conversation on that. And if you haven't seen it, make sure you go see it on episode 125. However, I just wanted to give a quick update on how he's doing and everything. His aunt was able to give an update on it. So Ralph is getting better every day. He has more days than he has more good days than bad days. Ralph is currently experiencing headaches that can be debilitated at times. Our prayer is with him and that he will also improve. He is a fighter, and we are truly blessed to still have him here with us. The last 10 days have been a whirlwind of emotions from being thankful that I still have my nephew to feeling an overwhelmed amount of anger that we live in a country where this type of hate still exists. Ralph is looking forward to being able to play the bass clarinet again soon, and we cannot wait for that moment either. We truly appreciate everyone's love and support that we have, and thank you for all the prayers. So, like, it just brings back that, you know, not only is Ralph, like, he's going through his battle that he's going through, but the whole community, the whole family is mourning through an assault that happened that was never necessary. And it just brings it back into focus.
Yeah. I mean, I think more so in these situations, and again, we probably talked about this a lot in episode 125, but there's been a lot of these type of situations where, unfortunately, a Ralph would have lost his life. And that's a lot of the situations we've seen over the years where Ralph wouldn't be here, just how things have unfolded. And now we have this situation with Ralph where, you know, thankfully he did not lose his life. And because of that, obviously they have their pain and their hurt and anger about the situation. They're pissed off at how it went down, why it went down, and everything that led into that situation. But at the same time, I think when you were showing me the post on IG, they showed Ralph playing with his little siblings.
I wasn't sure if that's him currently or if that was
Pictures kind of showed like bandages and stuff. Okay. You're right. Maybe they're old pictures, current pictures. I don't know, but I want to assume that Ralph can have conversations with his family. Ralph can have conversations with his siblings. Ralph can, you know, I don't know how much he's doing now probably, but speak to the media or speak to people who's asking about it. Ralph can be here amongst the living to talk about the situation and, you know, still be loved and cared for by his family, his friends, his loved ones. And that's not something we necessarily get to see with all these different similar situations that have taken place in the past where people like Ralph have lost their life. Other young black men have lost their lives. So that's a major thing that I take away from it. I could have went left. Ralph could have lost his life because of a senseless, dumb act by that, you know, white male who decided to just shoot without asking questions, just saw a black face and figured my life was in danger. But Ralph is here. His aunt's thankful. Millions people are thankful and happy. So I think that's the major thing about it. Sounds like he's on a proper road to recovery. Still dealing with his ups and downs, you know, trying to bounce back. But Ralph has his life.
Yeah, thank God.
Ralph has his life.
Thank God. We are here live at Double M. We're in the garage, man. I'm loving the setup. We got the plants here. Don't touch. Don't do it. Don't do it, brother. Just leave it alone.
What material is this?
That's why you always want to cut. Anyways, we're here in a beautiful setup. We got the banner. We got some special guests with us here at Double M. Shout out to everyone here. Mike Nice, yeah. Bro, you are a Marvel fan. I'm a Marvel fan. I think on the show we spoke about Ant-Man. I think if not, we've had conversations about Ant-Man in the Wasp movie. There's a big elephant in the room with the Marvel Universe right now.
Oh boy.
And I mean, not only Marvel Universe, I guess we could say like in media, celebrity media. So in Ant-Man, the antagonist is obviously Kang. Kang is played by Jonathan Majors. Jonathan Majors, prior to a month ago, was probably the hottest actor in the world.
Yeah, he had a lot going for him.
Everybody loved him. He was in all magazines. He was.
What's that face for? You don't like Jonathan Majors? Oh, so
told you,
sorry.
It's nasty.
They both have the same answer.
About
the liquor hitting.
Oh,
I. Sorry.
So yeah, Jonathan Majors was hot. Like I'm telling you, I don't think I've seen a run like this in a long time. The world was giving everything to Jonathan Majors. He was projected to be in so many films. And plus, when you're a superstar actor and you land a Marvel movie, it propels your career. It propels your career. And he was going to be the villain for future Marvel films to come. Now, there's a serious part to this, right? Comes out that allegedly he was... the domestic violence with his girlfriend. It got serious. He got arrested for it. And then they started to refute it. All the people from Jonathan Majors camp refuted it. Then later on, more people have come out and spoke about his sexual and domestic abuse. And it's really messed up. So let's take away the fandom part of Marvel and everything like that. One, obviously, we take this seriously. When it comes to domestic violence, it's wrong, and it should never happen. Any dude that does that shit's a fucking coward, and deserves everything that's coming to him. I truly believe that. Selfishly, and I can admit it. Selfishly, I really hope it's not true. I really hope it's not true. One, because I just don't want to see another black man getting into domestic violence, and it's I hate seeing this cycle go on and on. Two, I like Jonathan Majors as a person from what I've seen from him. Three, he's in a couple movies I was trying to see. But that's the selfish part of me, just hoping that it's not true. If it is true, if it comes out that this is really what happened, then he deserves everything that's coming to him, and it's sick shit.
Yeah, I mean, here's the two sides of it. Obviously, I don't fully know, but here's the two questions I kind of ask or put out there. Is this all the rumors, accusations or whatnot, are these popping up from Jonathan Majors in his past? And this is not to say if it was in his past, it makes it any more right or okay. Not at all. But is this stuff that happened in his past that is catching up to him now? Or is this Jonathan Majors, who has had this fame and this fortune from the different projects he's been a part of, And then now this stuff has popped off. Not to say whether it's then, whether it's now, either way, it's not right. Like I said, I'm in agreement with you. We're not for that at all here on Double M. But definitely trying to understand, is this Jonathan Majors pass catching up with the – I don't know if you know. Is this his pass?
I have no idea.
We don't know if this is his pass catching up with him or this is just a part of – Jonathan Majors has a lot of fame and spotlight on him now. He probably has that swag. He probably can pop up into a restaurant, a club, an event, a function, and just – I'm Jonathan Majors. Like, yeah. I got it going on right now through Marvel, through Creed 3. That was a big movie that came out recently. Either way, it's tough. Because like you're saying, and I agree with you, this is a guy who, he has had a lot come his way and more to come his way.
They gave him the role, bro. They gave him the...
Especially being part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And we've seen the success those movies and that franchise and that universe has had over the last several years. You know, everybody wanted to kind of know what's next with Marvel after Endgame and Infinity War and those movies before for Marvel. Everybody wanted to know what's next. And it finally seemed like Jonathan Majors and this Kang was giving you that what next answer.
Yeah.
So him being involved in this domestic and sexual abuse and violence and all of that, it's obviously a bad look for him. And obviously with Marvel and they have going on and planned for the future in the next couple of months, years or whatever, throws a monkey wrench into their plans. But, you know, while that is all exciting and cool and enjoyable for people to watch, the most important thing to talk about or kind of highlight is, damn, we hope this ain't true for Jonathan Majors. Yeah. And if it is true, as much as I enjoy seeing Jonathan Majors as Kang in the Marvel movies, as in Creed 3, did a great job. If this is true and this is a part of who he is, what's that saying? People say you got to pay the piper.
Who says that?
I've heard it somewhere.
No, you...
Have you heard it before?
No one's ever heard that before? No, you got to pay the piper?
I don't know. I heard
Pause.
That. You heard that before? It's a saying.
I'm
Thank
not
you,
saying...
Text.
I'm, no. I never said it's not a saying. I said, who says that?
People said it before, Marv. People of old English. Baby, I'm old school. You know me, bro. I'm old school soul at heart. But, I mean, he got to pay the price if this is something that's, whether it's from his past is catching up to him or if it's something that's being reoccurring as of late. If you have issues with domestic violence or sexual abuse and whatnot, whatever the case may be, that shit ain't gonna fly. It ain't gonna fly.
I just don't understand how constantly we see that these celebrities get themselves into these type of situations where physical harm has to be the answer to this. And, you know, obviously, one, if this is true, like, one, praise to the victim.
Absolutely.
Like, look, I saw Creed. Jonathan,
why you laugh at Creed for?
Jonathan Majors is a big motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's a big dude. You should never put your hands on a woman, bro. I just don't get how that happens and how he got himself in this situation. Flip it. If it's not true, his career is fucked.
Yeah, we live in a day and age where if you associated with anything,
it's
sexual abuse or domestic abuse, you already gonna take that L in a sense, because that's just not flying. It's not flying for anybody. It wasn't flying then. It wasn't flying. It's not flying now. So, like, just to have your name associated with that, it's a bad look.
So, I mean, we'll keep our eyes on it. Everybody's dropped him. His talent agency, the future movies, everybody's dropped him except for Marvel. Marvel's the only...
Because they know they put a lot of time, effort, and energy preparing the freaking phases and what's to come.
They're the only ones who have, and in a sense, you know, Marvel's going to take a hit as well if this does come true. Not because they didn't drop him, but it's like, what were you guys waiting for?
Yeah, and if they choose to keep him, like, yeah, I hear you. I hear you for sure. What you about to say, Tex? Now,
do I look at this or do I look at Tex?
In you guys' opinion, do you think they're sticking with him in reference to the Johnny Depp case and everything?
The Amber Heard situation?
Yeah, because Disney, because Pirates of the Caribbean is with Disney, right?
Mm-hmm.
Disney dropped Johnny on the spot. They didn't question anything. They didn't wait to figure out if he was innocent.
I thought they was coming out with another Pirates of the Caribbean.
Without him.
Without him.
Oh, without him?
Yeah.
I didn't never watch the movies anyway, so. Yeah.
So, do you think this is Marvel sticking with the actor, or do you think this is, what do you think?
I literally believe Marvel is just like, yo, we put a lot of time, effort, and energy and building this dude up. He, from all accounts, and obviously Marv probably knows more than me, Jonathan Majors is the next Thanos.
Yeah.
For these next phase of movies coming out. They've built him up or going to build him up as the next supervillain. And I know they probably spent countless hours and days without planning and writing what these movies and shows are going to look like. With Jonathan Majors as that role as Kang. Like, he's supposed to be in Infinity Wars or not Infinity Wars.
Secret Wars.
He's supposed to be in a couple of the Disney Plus TV shows.
Low key.
He's supposed to be in a lot of stuff to hype up and build up that character. And as we've seen, he's been very versatile with that character as well. So I don't think... I mean, I'm not in these meetings. I don't know. But I think Marvel right now is just in a spot where they're like, yo, we put mad time and energy into building this dude up to just say, all right, let's cut him loose. I don't know what they're necessarily waiting for. And I don't mean to say that, like, I don't know what they're waiting for. They should cut him right now. I mean, literally, I don't know what they're waiting for. Like, are they waiting to see how justice is handed out or waiting to see what comes? I don't know what they're waiting for, but they're waiting, and it's just on all of us to sit back and wait to see what they do.
Yeah, I agree with you with that. And then you have the Johnny Depp situation, and then you also have the Ezra Miller situation, the dude who plays Flash. And he done a lot. That dude's sick. That's a.
I don't even know the full details of the situation.
As we like to say, that's a sick Negro. That dude is sick. And
they still dropping Flash. And no then, hesitation.
I mean, 5 years later, they're finally gonna drop. They're gonna drop Flash. But like, even people are looking at Warner Brothers like, y'all still went through with this. So
they put a lot of time, effort, and energy building up that Flash movie, getting old actors. Like they spent a lot of time. So maybe. What you about to say? I see that.
For real? Oh, damn.
Where's the line, guys?
This is America, brev. This is America. Anything goes in this country sometimes when you don't look.
So. Say it. What are you going to say?
Go ahead, Marv. Go ahead.
So, then again, if you're going to bring up Amber Heard, right, you're going to bring up Ezra Miller. We're talking about people who are white. If a situation with Jonathan Majors, it just becomes such a nasty, This whole thing just becomes real
you
nasty
see what
work.
They did to Bill Clinton? I mean, I said Bill Clinton. Bill Cosby?
Bill Clinton did that.
I didn't mean to say that man's name. You see what they did to Bill Cosby?
Yeah, but Bill Cosby deserved it. So
maybe Jonathan Majors does.
That's what I'm saying. So if people deserve it, like Mello is saying, where's the line? What are we going to say? Okay, you did some sick shit, but we're still gonna allow you to be in these films, or no, we're gonna draw the line here because the flagpole changes for everybody. They're gonna let Ezra go. They're gonna let Amber Heard finally get on. and then they're not going to let Jonathan Majors go. And I'm not even saying Jonathan Majors should, but I'm saying then if you're not going to let Jonathan Majors get the movie, Ezra can't be on Flash. Amber Heard can't be on Aquaman. Nobody watches Aquaman.
It's probably going. I've seen Aquaman. You never seen the first Aquaman?
Come on, brother.
You saw it?
Tell me what the plot was about.
Huh? He's trying to rescue his mom. I think he's trying to rescue his mom.
Oh, my God.
Something like that. But maybe that's why Marvel's holding out. We don't know. We have no idea. There's a reason why Marvel.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a reason why Marvel is holding out, and we don't know. We've seen other situations, not just with movies, with athletes, celebrities. People get cut on a drop of a dime. No hesitation. Oh, these rumors came out? Yeah, we're all set. Right. Like Tiger Woods.
Nike was the only one.
Nike's the only one, but Tiger Woods got cut from a lot of shit.
Yeah.
With no hesitation. So that just happens. But like you said, Nike held out. Years pass. I guess people have forgiven Tiger Woods. People not really worried about
the
that.
The Tiger Woods, here's another thing. Don't get me onto this Tiger Woods thing. Because I could go on. The Tiger Woods thing makes no sense.
Cheated on his wife.
If that happened in 2023, bro, I don't think it's that big. It's not going to be as blown up as
I think
as
he cheated
is.
On his wife. And then there's a whole driving in the golf club. And there's a lot that went on.
But yo, they acted like this man murdered someone.
Yeah,
it was in the media. Tiger Woods was everywhere.
You know
and then
why?
They started leaking his voicemail.
You know why? It's because
yes, I understand right. That text.
I think for Tiger Woods though, it's because up until that point, he was so clean cut, like nothing was the issue in his life.
They acted like he murdered someone
because. He cheated on his wife and got hit with a
The man cheated on his text. Wife and he lost millions and millions of dollars.
I don't know.
I just have a hard time believing if that was anyone else, that would have happened.
You could be right. You
know, I have a hard time. If Brad Pitt was found cheating on Angelina Jolie with hundreds of women, I don't think he loses all his endorsements. Said endorsements. Who is yo? Turn on Triple M, bro.
Nah, I mean, obviously there was a cheating aspect to Tiger Woods, and then the whole golf club, and then not only that, he individually started spiraling.
He started
spiraling a little bit years later. Did you get arrested?
I would spiral too. Yeah, I lost all of that. I spiraled too.
I get it. But I mean, at the end of the day, just bringing it back to Jonathan Majors. It's a tough time to be in with those allegations or whatnot popping out. And in due time, we're going to find out if it gets taken to the next level where he is being, you know, arraigned for different allegations or what. It's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds. Because obviously the main thing with Jonathan Majors is, yes, he has these accusations come out. What's going to happen with him and Marvel? Because that's his biggest connection right now. So, I mean, I guess that's what, you know, the majority of people who have interest in what's going on, that's what they're waiting to see and find out about.
Hey, man. So, we'll stay tuned. We'll see what happens with the whole Jonathan Majors situation. Before we close this episode of Double M Out, do you have any stars and sorries?
Oh, Marv. You asked that question just to piss me off.
You got any stars? So, let's do stars.
You have a star, bro?
You're so upset. You want to do sorry so bad.
I'm mad. I don't have a star. I'm pissed right now. I'm pissed.
All right. Star, double M star goes to our boy, Tex.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. Tex definitely deserves.
Tex
the Bravo deserves a double M star. He's come a long way. Me and Mike were even texting on the side watching him. Tex come a long way, man. So to see him take, you know, step up elevation. At bat and just continue to grow and continue to, you know, elevate within the Double M program. That's really dope, man. The future's bright for him.
Absolutely.
So, Tex the Bravo gets a Double M star.
Press the button, Marv. Die. Sheesh.
My fault. I forgot.
But yeah.
When cool. When you're good, there's the bad. And when you're bad on this show, we say, sorry.
So we ain't going to waste no time. We ain't going to cut no shit. We're going to get right to it. The Boston Bruins of 2023. Fumble is an understatement. We want to talk about these bum-ass Bruins. Let me sit up real quick. This team, and we just talked about this in the last episode, we're talking about a team that broke regular season records. The most wins all time, the most points all time. They got one of the dudes on the team scored mad goals, probably the leading goal scorer in the league for the year. Did all type of shit. To be recognized as probably one of the greatest teams
ever
in NHL history. Yep. You do all of that. You're supposed to cakewalk to the Stanley Cup.
Especially first round. You're not even supposed to watch.
First round? Who give a damn? No one worried about. You're supposed to cakewalk to the Stanley Cup Finals. This team got eliminated in seven games. With the game seven, being at TD Garden on your home ice. You lost in overtime to be eliminated by the eighth seed. You the number one seed and a dominant number one. You're not no regular number one. You're a dominant, greatest of all time number one seed. And you get eliminated by the eighth seed at home at that.
You're not even giving the loss justice. They were up 3-2 with a minute left.
They were up in the series 3-1, I think. I believe they were up 3-1 or 3-2 for sure. I think it was 3-1.
The game was up 3-2 with a minute left. And then they tied it and it went into overtime and then collapsed.
I know I've had this conversation with different people, and some people agree, some people disagree. This might be the biggest collapse or biggest loss, however you want to phrase it. For me, it's the biggest since the Patriots lost in 07, the Super Bowl to the Giants. Now, people want to agree because they're like, yeah, that Patriots team was so dominant, they're supposed to easily win the Super Bowl and complete that season. Some people want to say, well, no, at least the Patriots made it to the Super Bowl, and they lost in the Super Bowl. It's different. Football is one and done. In sports like baseball, basketball, and hockey, you got to go through a whole series. To be recognized like the Patriots were as probably the greatest football team in NFL history going through that season, you got the Bruins on their end, recognized as the greatest hockey team in NHL history, and you're supposed to make it to the big game and win it. And you fumble it. I guess, yeah, it's different for football and hockey, but you're not supposed to fumble it when you have that much talent, you have that much success. You're not supposed to blow it, and they blew it. And this is the second time now that I can remember. In my lifetime of watching sports and being invested in sports, there's nothing that's been like the Patriots in 07. And the Bruins nothing, in 2023.
Nothing touches.
Nothing touching the Patriots. That would never be.
Nothing touches.
Nothing will surpass that. I don't care what the Red Sox, Patriots, Bruins, Celtics do.
Nothing's touching.
Nothing surpassing 07, for sure. I'll never.
The city was silent.
I'll never live down that argument.
So, Bruins, double M for Mike Nice, DJ Mies, for the horrific first round bounce. We got to give you a big fat old sorry.
Make sure my mic was close so y'all could hear me on
God
that one.
Damn, bro, you're going to hurt people's ears.
Bums. Don't give a damn.
Episode 126, man. We in the garage, man. I'm loving the setup. I like Triple M. This is dope. This is a great time. We'll be back here. Catch us live. Shout out to Mello. Shout out to the garage. Shout out to Tex. Shout out to our special guests. We got June and Cass in the building. Let's go. Yes, yes, yes. This is Double M Mike Nice.
Yeah.
Episode 126.
Mm-hmm.
And we to the
moon.
What's good, Double M family? It's your boy, Tex the Bravo. I'm here today with June Marie.
Hey, what's up? What's up, everybody?
We got a special interview for you guys today. So sit back, relax, take a cup, take a shot.
Cheers.
Cheers. All right. So where to start? I'm not sure if you remember, but we did go to high school together. You graduated a year before me, though, so I'm not too sure if you remember me in high school. Nah?
No, unfortunately, I don't. I feel bad.
Nah, it's cool. Starstruck. I understand you.
I mean, like, you know how it is, like, when you're like, don't do me like that.
Oh, it's cool. It's all right, yo.
When you're like a senior, you know what I mean? You're just so more focused on like senior fever ahead of you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I understand, like, 100%.
You're not really looking at, like, you know, underclassmen or, like, you know. It sounds way more bad when I'm like explaining
it. It doesn't sound bad. It doesn't sound bad at all. Don't worry. So after high school, where did your musical career begin?
All right, I have to ask. So how do you know me from high school? Like the hallways? Because
yes.
I was pretty big.
You're a very pretty girl. It's hard to forget you. Don't worry.
Okay. I mean, those were my hurt days, so I appreciate that. Oh,
okay.
That.
Here we go. The flattery. the humble card.
Those
okay.
Were my hurt days.
The humble card.
I've been doing music since I was, technically it depends, because I wouldn't really consider myself like just a singer. I would consider myself like an overall artist. So like I've been writing since, I don't know, I was like maybe 8 years old.
You rap too?
No, I mean, we dibble and dabble in now.
Okay.
You know, that's new project talk. But for back then, I was just like writing poems, writing like my own little songs. Music for me has always been like mainly therapy. Mm. So I kind of just like live my life and then make music that helps me get through things or helps me like see things a different way. Or like even if it's just a good moment, like to be able to put that into a song to make somebody else feel how I felt, like, I think that is, like, the funnest and the coolest part.
That's beautiful. Music to help you get through things. That's what I use music for, personally. Yeah. Like, whenever I have to get out of an angry mood, I put on some vibes, and I'm a different person. Yeah. So I definitely respect that, and I love to hear that. Well, let's talk about your latest EP, Handle Me With Care?
Handle With Care, yeah.
Handle With Care. I apologize. That came out in 2020?
Yeah, that's correct.
So, where were you when you wrote that? What space were you in? And
oh, man, I was in, like, a weird space. I mean, I guess a good musical space, but, like, I was, like, probably the most depressed I ever been in my whole life.
Man.
Yeah, not to get deep.
Go ahead. we're going to have the soundboard soon. Don't worry.
But I was just going through a hard time, like, you know, obviously the pandemic hit and it affected everyone some way, shape, or form. And I was in a point, especially with my music in general, where, like, I wanted to make actual, like, timeless records. And I wanted to make, instead of just singles, I wanted to make a body of work that you didn't have to skip. You could play it through from the beginning to the end. So Handle With Care is, like, really special to me because not only was it therapeutic for me, it made me kind of just realize what it's like to create a body of work so cohesive that every idea flowed into the other. And I think that was, like, now looking back that I'm about to drop another project, I think that Handle With Care definitely set me up to do more intentional work following a theme. So the theme of Handle With Care was, you know, like, obviously to handle yourself with care, but to also, like, because of the pandemic, to really just, like, focus in on, like, what do you really care about, prioritizing yourself when you need to, walking away when you need to, and being able to, like, tap into, you know, a more vulnerable side of yourself, because, I mean, we had all the time in the world during COVID, you know what I mean, to do that, so.
I tell you what, I had too much time on my hands during COVID. I don't know. I think I regret some decisions back then. But anyways, let's continue forward.
I mean, I definitely wanted to say shout out to Jay Rose, because that's my dog. Him and I are like two peas in a pod, like, name a better duo type of work in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And, I can honestly say, you know what I'm saying, our chemistry in the studio is very cool. Like, I'll have an idea, and he'll, like, amplify it to, like, 3-4 times bigger than the idea
that's awesome.
We had. Yeah, so it's, like, super dope working with him, because we just bounce off each other's energy.
Yeah.
Definitely, like, because of that chemistry, like, we worked on the second follow-up project that's about to be out soon, so.
Okay, that's awesome. So with music being so therapeutic to you and being almost like an escape, what does it actually take for you to sit down and make a song?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Multiple things, I guess. It depends. Like, I would say, like, the most intense thing that would ever have to happen would be, like, an actual life experience. Because I make my best music, like, when I'm going through something. So for me, it's like, what would it take? Life experience definitely would be number one. And then I would say following that would be, like, definitely beat choice. Okay. I can kind of hear a song already laid out prior to me even putting words to it if the beat is, like, structured or if the beat has, like, you know, a certain melody that I find really catchy or something like that. Like, it's kind of like a sixth sense, kind of. Yeah. Like, I can feel, like, the vibrations of the beat, and I'm like, I could resonate with that. I don't know how I'm going to do it yet, but I got melodies in my head, and then, you know, from there, like, whatever energy I get from that beat ends up being, you know, either, like, a happy song or, like, a chill song or I'm pissed song. You know what I mean? Like, it depends on, like, the mood of the beat. But definitely, like I said, life experience, you know, it just depends. I can go in the booth and, like, write shit in, like, 5-10 minutes or just freestyle. Lately, I've been doing a lot of freestyling, like, for the last EP I just finished up. Most of that were just demos, just going in the studio, cooking up every day, like, and then eventually we kind of, like, capped recording demos because we had all these demos. So we're like, all right, like, how are we gonna pick from this pool of records, demos, and be like, okay, this is gonna be a representation of what we're gonna do next. Kind of like, it's like a process, you know, but it just depends, like, the space I'm in, really.
Okay. You brought up a question. You brought up something that sparked a question in me. I've always been curious on how artists choose the songs that they put into their projects. So what do you think it takes for you to actually approve a song to get on a project for you?
Well, first, it's got to be a hit, no? Mm-hmm. I think that's the first and foremost, because it is a craft, but, you know, when you take it to a high level, you want to monetize it, obviously, of course, and you also want to be able to, like, create a vibe that other people would enjoy. So if it's catchy, you know, you already know off rip, like, that's going to do well, like, that's going to be something that other people should hear and things like that. But I don't know, I would say, like, it depends the theme of the project, to be honest. Because if not, you know, you just drop it as a single and it is what it is, or you maybe have it more strategic. It's all strategic, to be honest. I mean, every artist is different, you know. But for me, I'm learning to be, especially with Hannah with Care, like, more intentional. So for me, it's just, like, following the theme. So, you know, like, let's say you're making a project about, like, for example, Hannah with Care, for instance. It was all vulnerable music. Like, I'm not about to drop, like, party music in the middle of the EP, because then you're gonna be like, all right, like, what is she going through?
Is she sad or is she trying to have a good time?
Turn up, yeah. Like, okay, I mean, but nonetheless, like, that's why All In had that's why the song All In on the project was a bonus track, because it was a little bit more like up tempo, more like kind of like you're with your boo vibes, and like, I don't know, it was just, I didn't feel like it was necessarily a part of the storyline, but it still fit the theme on a relationship level. Okay. So I ended up putting that in as a bonus track. So sometimes I'll do it, but it'll purposely be separate.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's awesome. Wow. No, I appreciate that, because you're giving us a lot of insight. I would have never known the process of an artist. Like you said, if you make a song and it doesn't necessarily fit with the EP or the project that you have at the time that you're working on, you might just release it as a single to gain some momentum or gain some attraction or give something to the people so they have something to listen to while you work on your project. That's awesome. So I know you used to live out here in Mass, but you recently moved to DC.
Yeah.
So how has that move impacted your career?
Well, I say first and foremost, it definitely makes you, like, more independent. You're kind of, like, forced into, like, you know, a new space where you have to figure your way out and navigate your way through, I guess. luckily, so far, since I've been there, I've done 2 shows, and I've gotten to connect with other local artists. Their D.C. culture is, like, amazing, like, musically, very supportive. They do things, like, every week for local artists. And I love that it's not just singers and rappers, it's spoken word, it's painting, you know, it's a mixture of everything in one place. And I'm excited to see what else DC has for me and what I'm going to be doing out there. They actually just asked me, two people actually just DM me since I've been out here, like, hey, can you do this show? Nice. One was for, like, celebrating, like, Latino women or something like that for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And then the other one recently was also another spoken word event for Mother's Day, and they wanted to feature me as an artist and, like, pay me. And I'm like, damn, I'm not there, but it's all good. Like, you know, the fact that I'm even considered, you know, and I haven't been out there in a long period of time, like, just makes me know, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to definitely take on this new venture and, like, see where it takes me. But so far, so good, you know, and I like that I'm not too far from home, so I'm going to always rep, you know, 508, like, where I'm from. But, yeah.
That's awesome.
Good. Yeah.
That's awesome. No, because I know a lot of artists always complain that they have a hard time gaining traction or actually, like, getting, like, a good following base or a lot of viewers in their home city. But once they move or once they get out of town, it's like a skyrocket. It's like they boom. And it's crazy.
I mean,
go ahead, be honest.
I mean, it's a little 50-50. Okay. I can see why artists would think that. I mean, I don't know. I have to agree with that to a certain degree. This ain't no shade on nobody either. It's just, you know.
Nah, speak your truth.
It's easier to support people you don't know, unfortunately.
Damn.
It's unfortunate. You know what I'm saying? I think we're all guilty of it, too, in one way, shape, or form. You can't support everybody, even though you want to. Like, you know, as people, as humans, you know what I'm saying, sometimes we're a little bit narrow-minded or definitely biased to certain genres. And you know what I mean? So
that's 100% true.
You know, it's like, it is what it is. I try not to take it personally. You can't take shit personal in this business because, you know, you'll get disappointed real quick. You know, you just got to keep going. All the no's you hear, eventually will be a yes. And I think that you won't know until you put yourself out there. So, like, the first show I did in D.C., like, I was terrified. I was like, damn, like, what happens, like, you know, if I mess up or, you know, like, they're not feeling me because I'm from Mass and, like, you know, the music scene is a little different here than maybe in D.C. You know, all those thoughts were running through my head. But I was just like, well, if I mess up, they're not going to know because they don't know you. You know what I mean? And then, like, when you shift your perspective to that, it's kind of like when you dream, like, you're presenting in front of your class and you're in your underwear. Like, it's kind of like one of those things. Like,
I was never in my underwear. Everyone else
I've
was
never
in
had
underwear,
those
though.
Dreams before, but, like, I hear that it is funny and it helps people sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're presenting, just imagine everyone in the underwear. I couldn't do it because I'm too goofy and I would laugh. But, like, in my mind, like, it was kind of almost that same logic, like, no one's going to know if you messed up because no one knows your music. And in that sense, I shift, like, the fear perspective into, like, an opportunist perspective. And I was like, well, if I do mess up, maybe I'll just freestyle and they'll still fuck with it. You know what I mean? So then in that way, it kind of changed my mind.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah, no, I know I own a pet care business. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot of people have hated on me simply because they see me doing something good. And, like, I've seen other people say the same thing. Like, other people don't want to see you do better than they're doing, but they still want to see you do good.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's always been a something that has been eye-opening to me and stuff like that. So, before we wrap things up, what has been the most inspirational moment for you for music?
The most inspirational? Honestly, I would say failure.
Hmm.
Failure for many reasons. I would say, like, for example, Handle With Care came out during COVID. Like, you know, so everything was closed. Like, unfortunately, you know, Handle With Care is just now still getting recognized. I was recently just recognized on R&B Radar. Shout out to R&B Radar, by the way.
Shout out.
I was just recognized by R&B Radar on their story and, like, gained, like, at least 2,000 new listeners on Spotify because of that shout out. You know what I'm saying? They shouted me on Twitter, everything. So it's just, like, they shouted me out for Sweet Murder that was on Handle With Care. And that's crazy to me because that song came out 3 years ago. And I'm just now, like, that just happened to me last month. And I'm like, damn, like, I just released that song, like, 3 years ago, and it's just now getting, like, traction. So it kind of makes you, like, you hear all these stories, like, about artists releasing music, but not, it doesn't become a hit or on the radio till, like, 5-6 years later. And you're like, well, damn, how the hell can that happen? But, like, that experience alone just made me realize, like, once you put shit out there, like, it's kind of like you know, pictures on the internet. Like, it's always going to be there. Like, you don't realize that as an artist because you're always trying to get better and you're always trying to keep your audience. But it's like, you got to stop sometimes and, like, get your flowers, you know? Mm-hmm. So I would definitely say failure because, you know, when it came out in COVID, I wasn't doing shows like that. But also, like, you know, so I ended up having to do a live album. So that's on my YouTube channel. But that process was like, oh, man, it was so difficult to, like, try to find the right space, try to find the right person to mix it. And then we had to remix the whole thing, like, 3 or 4 times because we didn't have the right equipment. And it was just, like, it was.
Sounds like a hassle.
It was my fault to a degree. And, like, in that sense, like, I had to be accountable for that for the future. But it made me realize, you know what I mean, like, how to do it better next time. And, like, mm-hmm. next time, what am I going to do or what am I not going to do? Because, I mean, no one predicted a pandemic. So I had to, like, because I had, you know me, like, you know how artists are, like, they cook up at least for a year.
Yeah.
At least for a year. So in my mind, like, I was already making these records, and I'm, like, I never anticipated a pandemic, you know? So it kind of definitely messed up my whole marketing scheme. Shows were non-existent. I couldn't perform at shows. So, I mean, I take it as a blessing in disguise, though, because now that I'm in D.C., you know what I'm saying, I have all this catalog of music, and they don't care when it came out. They don't care if I mess up. They don't know. You know what I mean?
They don't care.
So, yeah. I mean, I would definitely say failure because it's definitely pulled me out of, like, places to grow and shown me, like, what to do in the future and stuff like that. So,
okay. I like that. Now, you know, moving to D.C. and having different outreach, what has that shown you, like, in advertisement lanes and getting your music out there to different people? What do you feel like you need to do next in order to expand or to grow?
I think being out there and seeing the support that other artists and people give each other has really helped me and, like, broaden my sense on community and, like, actual personal presence. I definitely think, like, doing more shows is definitely on my agenda and just being, like, physically more present. Like, some people won't really fuck with you until they can put a face to your name. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like even now, like, you're over here, like, she don't remember me from high school. She funny.
I'm just saying, bro. It's cool. Starstruck.
We saw shit. Now we cool, I think. But definitely, like, putting myself out there more in person and, you know, just being more of myself online. Like, it's kind of hard to. I feel like TikTok culture kind of ruined that for most artists because now it's like you're not even trying to put out music to put out music. You're trying to sell, like, a whole, like, persona around that song, around that EP, and you have to sell that through TikTok. And it's, like, cool, but it's, like, it works for the artists those type of artists and that can do it. But you force these artists who that might not necessarily be their image into a whole nother realm of marketing where it's either they sink or they swim.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think, like, TikTok culture has kind of, like, in some sense has been amazing in finding new music, finding new artists, and it's a great tool to connect people and learn things. But at the same time, it's also taken away the value of good music. Underrated artists, you know what I'm saying, who don't give a fuck about that, to be honest.
Yeah.
Who just want to make good music and have good fans, you know?
Yeah. No, I think that's actually 100% true what you said, because there are, I can think of so many songs off the top of my head now that I've actually found through TikTok that I was like, yo, this sounds like a banger. And you go and you listen to it, and only that specific part that's in the TikTok clip,
30-second clip
is what's popular. Good.
Yeah.
And it's just like, damn, this was misleading. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to be here right now. Why am I listening to this song? So
it's good marketing, though. You can't knock it. It's like a love hate.
Yeah. TikTok. No, exactly. It's a double edged sword, and sometimes you swing and you hit. Sometimes you swing and you miss. So it's definitely a lot to gamble with. I understand what you're saying.
I did want to add, though, I think it's a great platform because it allows artists to expand their vision to another platform instead of just Instagram or Twitter. It allows them to, you know, have another platform to have different fans and maybe give more of their personality.
Yeah.
Me, I'm still trying to figure it out. I don't think I'm like a TikTok type, but, you know, we'll see. I'm always open for growth, but
hey, TikTok,
just depends what it is.
TikTok is a space for goofy people.
Yeah.
And I bet you have enough personality to fill in that space. Don't worry.
I'm more of like, my friends could call
it shy.
I'm not shy. Definitely.
I was about
like,
to say.
I'm more of like an in-person vibe. Like, I don't like to do shit for cameras. I don't like to do shit that feels fake or forced or anything like that. And maybe that's why I struggle with it. But.
Well, don't think too hard on it. Just make the content and love it afterward, okay? Yeah. So you've been talking about it, hinting about it here and there, but you said something about a new EP or some new work. What information could you give Double M today on this special interview for us? Hey, pay attention.
Well, I'm going to look into the camera for this one. I am going to be releasing a follow-up project to Handle With Care. And I don't have a release date yet. You know, I can't give too much information away. But you heard it here first. I'm going to be dropping my follow-up EP called Careless. And that's going to be out this summer at some point. So cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
You heard it here.
Careless. I like that. Handle With Care to Careless. That's a different space.
I feel like just hearing, if you've been following my music, exactly, like, just like mic drop, because I feel like if you've heard Handle With Care, you can only imagine, like, you know, what the follow-up Careless is going to be like.
Sound like Hot Girl Summer to me.
A little bit.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You see, that's what I like to hear.
A little bit, yeah.
Are you excited for the project?
I really am. I honestly, this is the most fun I've ever had making music. Making this project, and it was definitely cool to like work with J. Rose and collaborate, because I just wanted it to be so different from Handle With Care. Handle With Care was like more vulnerable and like, you know, very reflective, and this project is more like, you know, I would say me being more comfortable with my femininity, me being more comfortable with myself, me not caring or giving a fuck about what people think of me or what I do, like more so focused on my happiness, my friends, the shit I love, the music, and just like celebration of life.
That's awesome. And I love to hear it because I'm anticipating it. Yeah. I can't wait. I can't wait. Don't worry. Nah, thank you for the music. Well, moving forward, what would you like anybody on the Double M platform or any of your viewers to know to where they can find you and stuff like that?
Well, all my music is at June Marie on all platforms. So that would be like mainly Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, any of those sorts. You can definitely find my music. June Musica is my Instagram handle. Actually, all the links to all my music are in that bio, as well as my Twitter and YouTube channel. And you guys can find me at June Musica pretty much on any social media platform, and June Marie on that.
And awesome. Well, you heard it here first. New project called Careless coming soon. We don't know the exact date, but it will be here, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't give y'all too much information. We just actually shot a video for one of the records, so y'all will hear something soon. We chopping it up right now. Shout out to Architect.
All right, word. Well, we love to hear it. You're here with Tex the Bravo and June Marie, and y'all have a good night at Double M.
Thank y'all for having me.